You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The supply chain in just a minute, but first, let us review, if we might, our energy coverage on this program the past week or so. Told you about the spike in natural gas prices here and globally last week. Followed that up with a story about high coal prices here and globally. Today we're going to talk about the rising price of the other fossil fuel, oil, of course. Both benchmarks, West Texas Intermediate, which is ours, and Brent North Sea Crude, which is global, closed above $80 a barrel today, first time that has happened in 7 years. So we got the guy at Marketplace who deals in all things energy to explain what's up and how long these high oil prices and, oh, by the way, high gas prices might stick around. Here is Andy Euler.
$80 a barrel? That sounds high, I guess, but 3.25 per gallon for gas at your local station? Now that's definitely high. Politicians know that, and some of them are arguing we need to get more U.S. producers to drill.
Gasoline at the pump is driving that discussion.
That's Eric Smith at the Tulane Energy Institute in New Orleans. That price at the pump could be due to Hurricane Ida, which shut down a lot of production. The Biden administration has asked OPEC to fill the gap, but Smith thinks that's a bad play, given all the reserves in the U.S.
It doesn't make a lot of sense for any kind of long-term economic development in the United States to shut down our long suit voluntarily so that other countries can exploit it.
Historically, at $80 a barrel, energy companies would be rushing to drill. And we have seen rig counts in Texas's Permian Basin inch up a bit. But Greg Priddy, an energy market consultant, says it's not the usual suspects.
It's not Chevron or ExxonMobil that are adding rigs in big numbers. It's the small independent wildcatters.
The bigger players are sitting out right now to protect investors' dividends. So the big question is, are they going to get in?
There will be somebody out there who is willing to put money in.
Eleanor Wald is president of Transversal Consulting.
The question is just, at what point will we see that happen?
Walt says it's not going to be overnight. New infrastructure is slow and expensive. But she also doesn't think prices are going to plateau at $80 a barrel. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
I got in the car after work the other day, headed south about 25 miles or so, and wound up on a windy hilltop in San Pedro, California, so that I could have a look at what's become maybe the defining image of the global supply chain snafu.
That's a lot of boats.
That's a lot of ships, but as you can see, they're spaced out. Everybody's in their circle. Yeah. Normally, you'd have a tenth of what we have out there.
Ships, boats, same, same. Captain Kip Ludit is the executive director of the Marine Exchange of Southern California, which literally on that hilltop and electronically, as you'll hear in a minute, overlooks the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach.
And it's basically air traffic control.
Air traffic control at the busiest container port complex in the country. About 4,500 ships from China and Japan, Korea, and points west come through here every single year. We're talking about more than a third of all U.S. container imports.
Just to make sure I understand this, usually what happens is a ship calls you, container or otherwise, and you know it's coming because you've seen the schedule, and he says, hi, I'm here, and you say, go to berth 42, like almost same day-ish, probably.
They actually know 4 days in advance they're going to berth 42. And if you back up 2 weeks when the ships leave Asia, 2 week passage, in normal times, they're hitting their arrival time within 30 minutes. Because then the whole synchronization of the harbor pilot going out, then the tugboats meeting the ship, dock worker who plugs in the electrical cord, all of that is sequenced in a normal world.
Here's a little tidbit that shows you how not normal this world has become. The average wait time at the Port of Los Angeles right now is more than 11 days. In the before times, with ships hitting their arrival within 30 minutes after 2 weeks out on the water, it was basically zero.
And mathematically, there's supposed to be 0 to 1 container ships at anchor. 0 to 1.
Yes.
And today we have 66. So that's the magnitude of the backup that we have to take care of.
Which is why we're here, those 66 ships on this today. What is today? Tuesday afternoon, right?
Correct.
There are, back of the envelope, 500,000 containers on those ships, with stuff inside destined eventually for American factories, then retailers and consumers. So we are starting a new series today called Temporarily Unavailable, about how stuff moves around the world, or doesn't.
So let me introduce Captain Pat Baranek. He's the general manager.
Good to see you.
Nice to meet you.
Somebody show me what's going on, because there's 66 ships out there, and they're not hanging around by themselves, right?
We'll show them out here.
Okay.
All right.
We'll follow you.
Yeah, come on out.
Sure.
We know why the ships are there, right? Pandemic buying binge by consumers, pandemic worker shortages and factory shutdowns slowed the supply chain. Stuff started piling up, and the more stuff piled up, the longer the delays got. And then retailers started gearing up for the holidays, and here we are.
San Pedro traffic, Costco Nagoya.
Costco Nagoya traffic, good afternoon.
What they do here at the Marine Exchange is help those ships figure out where to wait and how to navigate all the traffic that's out on the water.
Information, the Mount Nicholson is passing the Long Beach Sea Buoy, outbound to the southwest. Over.
In a room upstairs in the building on that hilltop, with big glass windows facing the ocean, most of the attention, honestly, is on a couple of three big flat-screen monitors.
So there's a defining line, basically a street called Navy Way that breaks the port in half, LA Long Beach. So one port complex, but two different ports.
So we've got the schematic, and then out in the ocean, which I'm going to guess is the dark stuff here, right? Those circles are, how big are those circles?
The circles are 600 yards radius.
Radius. So they can swing an anchor 600,
yep.
600 yards.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. This looks crowded.
It is crowded. I would say the most that it's ever been in the history of the port complex. So we're utilizing all of our anchorages plus our contingency anchorages. So we created additional anchorages that aren't charted.
Wow.
Then in addition to that, overflow-wise, now we have drift areas. So the vessels that are waiting to come into port are currently at anchor. Then we have an additional 31 that are sitting offshore, drifting, waiting for an anchorage spot or waiting to go into berth.
Like really drifting?
Like drifting.
That doesn't seem entirely safe, if I could just as a layperson.
Unlike a car, they can't stop.
Yeah,
obviously, fair. The ocean's constantly moving. Current, wind, all that affects the vessel. The type of the vessel is affected differently by the conditions. And what happens for us is that means they're calling us about every hour and telling us, I'm going to turn my engines back on. They get back underway and then they move again, which means a lot of extra movement for us in addition to the number of vessels that are already in the area.
Right.
It's a lot more work, I would say astronomical, in terms of how much data that we're processing on a daily basis.
Do you ever stop to think that some huge chunk of the global economy comes through here? Does that, I mean, when you show up for work in the morning, you're like, yeah.
I think every day you have to know that, seeing what we see on a daily basis. I think we do sometimes take it for granted because we're doing this every day, but I think we always know that's what's happening.
Consumers take it for granted too.
Oh.
Just, for the record.
Yeah.
90% of global trade moves on the water. And as of this weekend, there are still 60 container ships waiting outside the ports of LA and Long Beach.
Do you have a sense, or is it even your job to figure out how long this is going to last?
It is not. So again,
it's not your job.
No, for us, 25 miles to Point Firmin and out, we need to make sure all those vessels are safe. In terms of determining how long it's going to take, not our responsibility, which is good and bad.
Sorry, Kip, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we do forecast out 3 days.
And, 72 hours.
So that's our horizon, and we actually love the media because you are going around asking when will this end, because we want to know when it will end too.
I'm not sure anybody knows the answer to that one, but for the next installment in this series, we'll take a closer look at the container economy and how we got here. That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.